If you please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm sure you picked out the verse there, verse 15, that has these words in it, be ready. The verse reads, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And this verse and the words there, be ready always, really is a motto text for the life of William and Chalmers Burns. There were times when he used these words about being ready, ready to do whatever the Lord had for him, ready to do it quickly. And we'll be picking up on some of that even tonight. But let's just bow in prayer for a moment and ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, we do look to Thee to draw near. And as we think upon these things this evening, that they will be profitable to us, may our hearts be encouraged. We thank Thee that Thou art the God of history, and Thou hast not changed. And therefore, Lord, we can ponder and think upon these things and look to Thee to do the very same in the day and age in which we live, because Thou hast not changed. And Thy purpose has not changed. Thou art still the one who is saving sinners and drawing in a people unto Thyself. And Lord, those great individuals and events in the past are to be an encouragement. Lord, we read in Scripture about that great company who look on, when we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 of the great cloud of witnesses that look on and observe. And Lord, we thank Thee that we can remember those who have gone before and what Thou hast done in them and through them and how Thou didst take them up and use them as an instrument. And Lord, may indeed we be ready, and may we be a channel of blessing as we have been singing. Even challenge us in that regard. Lord, we might never be called to the mission field. Maybe we will be called to the mission field. But Lord, wherever Thou dost put us, may we be channels of blessing. And those who seek to win the lost for Jesus Christ, give us that all-consuming zeal and motive and desire that we might seek the lost and be like the Saviour in that regard. So come now and bless us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. It is the 150th anniversary of the death of William Chalmers Burns this year. He was born in Kilsyth in Scotland in 1815. He was a contemporary of Robert Murray McShane and of Andrew and Horatius Bonner. And I suppose maybe those names are much more readily known, and individuals are much more readily known than William Chalmers Burns. But he was a contemporary of those men. And after a number of years of preaching in Scotland and England as well, and over in Ireland, and also some time spent in Canada preaching, the Lord called William Chalmers Burns to be a missionary and to go and serve the Lord. He initially had an interest in going to India, but that door closed and the door opened for him to go to China. And William Chalmers Burns became a missionary to China over the latter period of his life. On the mission field in China, he became the friend and the companion of a young Hudson Taylor. And the two of them worked together for a short period of time. And both of those men acknowledged how each other had influenced them in particular ways. For example, Hudson Taylor regarded William Chalmers Burns as one of his spiritual mentors. And he wrote about the depth of Burns' prayer life and the impact that that had upon him. And he said, I never had I such a spiritual father as Mr. Burns. And then later on in his autobiography, Hudson Taylor wrote, those happy months were an unspeakable joy and privilege to me. His love for the Word was delightful, and his holy reverential life and constant communings with God made fellowship with him satisfying to the deep cravings of my heart. His views, especially about evangelism as the great work of the Church and the order of lay evangelists as a lost order that Scripture required to be restored, were seed thoughts which were to prove fruitful in the subsequent organization of the China Inland Mission. So that's Hudson Taylor's testimony to the impact that William Chalmers Burns made upon him. But then the other way round, there was an influence as well. For even though Hudson Taylor was a young missionary who just had arrived on the mission field, yet he made an impact upon the older man who had been preaching in Scotland, as I say, and then came out to the mission field in the latter part of his life. But the influence that Hudson Taylor brought upon Burns was that it was Hudson Taylor who broke with missionary tradition and began to wear traditional Chinese clothing. And William Chalmers Burns did the same, because he had the same desire as Hudson Taylor had, and that was to reach into the interior of China. There was a number of different ports, if you know anything about the history of China back in the 1800s. There was a number of ports out around the coast, Shanghai and Hong Kong, as we would know them today. But there were a number of ports, and there were many Westerners and other individuals who were found in those places. And even when Burns went to China, there was a time when he was preaching to some Scotsmen as well, because they were there because of the fact that there was a port, and all of these different ships from around the world would dock there and load and offload and onload goods. But Hudson Taylor and William and Chalmers Burns had a desire to reach into the interior of China, not just to preach in these port cities. And even then, as I say, there was a great influence of Western civilization in that time as well. But he wanted to reach into where there were only Chinese people. And Hudson Taylor was the first who decided that he would dress as a traditional Chinese individual. He would even grow a ponytail and fit in with the culture and the customs of the people. And that made a great impact upon William Chalmers Burns, because that's what his burden was as well, to reach into the interior and to reach ordinary Chinese people with the gospel. And therefore, Burns also started to wear traditional Chinese clothing and also to grow a pigtail, so that he might fit in with the customs and the people of the day. So those two men had an influence upon each other. As I say, there's really two distinct periods to the life of William and Chalmers Burns. There's the first period, about 15 years or so after he was converted, when he was mightily used in Scotland, and we're going to mention a little bit of that. And then there was the last 20 years, 21 years to be precise, when the Lord took him to the mission field in China. And the Lord used him there to reach the lost with the gospel. And there was this outworking of this text of scripture that I've drawn to your attention here. He was a man always ready. Always ready. He didn't have a settled ministry in Scotland. He wasn't the minister of a particular congregation. But he was always ready. And when opportunities came, and they did come for him to go and preach in England for a little time, and even come over and preach in Dublin, and then out to Canada as well to preach, and then finally the call that came to go to China, he was ready all the time. He was ready and willing to go. He was a man willing to serve the Lord wherever the opportunities opened up, and the Lord put a burden in his heart for the mission field, and particularly for China, and then for the interior of China, and he was always ready to go. There was never any reluctance on his part. And surely we can learn from that. And here in this text of Scripture, the immediate context is being ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us. And that ought to be the case with every Christian. We ought to be able to say something about the hope that is in us. And I've often said the best way of witnessing sometimes is just to give our testimony, to tell what the Lord has done for us. And Peter certainly is referring to that here in 1 Peter 3:15, that we're ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us. There's a hope within every child of God. Well, what's the reason for that? What's the cause of that hope? What's the grounds of that hope? And as we know, the grounds of that hope is Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And sometimes that's the very best way to witness, just to tell others what the Lord has done for us. And certainly, I think I've mentioned it before, when it comes to Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons that call at your door, and you can get into a conversation and a debate with them, but it's very hard to ever get through to them because of the mindset that they have been conditioned to think in a particular way. But what they have not got is a testimony. What they have not got is to be able to say what Jesus Christ has done for them personally and individually. That's what they have no answer for, because they do not believe in that and know anything about it. And sometimes the best way is just to give the reason of the hope that lives within us, and to be ready to do so, and to be willing to do so. But taking that principle out of that verse, to be ready, because we can widen it out to other areas of Christian life as well. How good it is to be ready. Ready to go to heaven, first of all. Ready to do whatever the Lord would have us to do. It's a good way to live. It's an important way to live. It's the biblical way to live. Well, William Chalmers Burns was a man certainly ready to do the Lord's bidding. I want you, first of all, to think about a careless life. Because that's one of the interesting points about this man. He was a child of the manse, as I said this morning, about him. His father was a minister. And as a young lad, at the age of 6, the family moved to the town of Kilsyth in Scotland. It's about 12 miles east of Glasgow. At that time, it was a place made up of colliers and weavers. And there, William Burns' father took up the ministry in the church that was in the town of Kilsyth. But William Chalmers Burns himself had really no interest in the things of God growing up. Despite being reared under the sound of the gospel and his father's preaching and his mother teaching them and even reading to them the incident that is told about the mother in the home reading with her children from Charles Bridges on Psalm 119. And it's a lengthy commentary. You can still have it. I have a copy of it, even myself in my study. But you can buy it. It's an excellent read. Charles Bridge, he was a minister in England, but he wrote a commentary in Psalm 119. But the story is told about William Chalmers Burns' mother reading from that to her children, and how William would slip out of the house. He was so disinterested. He didn't want to stay and listen and to hear what was being read to him. The family had an uncle that had carved out an extremely comfortable living for himself as a lawyer in Aberdeen, if I remember right. And that impressed young William Chalmers Burns very much. And he reasoned in himself that that is the life that he would like to pursue. And I want to quote what he said. This is what he said. "Lawyers have lots of money and live in grand houses. Therefore, seeing that I want to have lots of money and live in a grand house, I will become a lawyer." So that was his thinking. He set his affections on the things of the world and on the ways of the world, and he had no desire for the things of God. And as a young lad, he left home. He left the manse in Kilsyth in Scotland to pursue this career as a lawyer. And he ended up in Edinburgh. His sister wrote of her brother and what had happened to him and the choices that he had made. And this is what his sister said. "We mourn over him as one bound for the world. We mourn over him as one bound for the world." For it seems to them he had made his choice. His father and mother desired that he would be a minister. That was their prayer for him, that he too would be a minister like his father had been a minister. But he leaves home and he's pursuing this career, and he's doing it for merely earthly material things with no thought of the Lord at all. But God had mercy on him. Even though he was careless and indifferent, the Lord had mercy. Because life in Edinburgh did not work out the way he thought it would. And as a 17-year-old, he discovered that there was no satisfaction in the world, and the things that he had set his affections upon were empty. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that is very true with regards to the world, and that's what he had set his mind on, but it didn't bring to him the satisfaction that he thought it would. And at that same time, when the Lord was bringing home to him the emptiness of the world, there were some other influences that made him to start to think about the things of God. One of those influences was a letter that his sisters sent to him, because they had a concern about him. As I've mentioned there about one of his sisters and how she had written those words, "We mourn over him as one bound for the world." Well, they had a concern for their brother. And they wrote a letter to him while he was away from home. And in that letter, they referred to the other members of the family as pilgrims bound for glory, and that they were going to be leaving him behind because of the path that he had chosen. And that proved to be one of the first barbs to pierce the conscience of William Chalmers Burns, because he wrote about it. And this is what he had to say, and I quote, "I could not think of my Christian parents and my godly home, with all its sweet and solemn privileges, without an awful conflict of soul at the thought of parting with them forever. I could think of parting with Christ, for I knew him not, but to part with them was too much for me to bear." So out of that letter that those sisters had written to him, the Lord begins to work in the heart of this young 17-year-old. There was another influence that was brought to bear because his godly father was troubled by the choice that he was making to leave home, and upon leaving home he gave him a copy of Pike's Early Piety, and Burns took it with him. But it wasn't until now the emptiness of the world begins to confront him, and that letter and the thought that was expressed in it, that the rest of the family were pilgrims bound for glory and that he was not going to be with them, he started to pick up that book and to read it. And again, what he read upon those pages of that book struck a chord in his heart. And again, I quote, and this is what he said, "While gazing on a solemn passage in it, my inmost soul was pierced as with a dart. God had apprehended me. I felt the conviction of my lost estate rushing through me with resistless power. I left the room and retired to a bedroom, there to pour out my heart for the first time with many tears and a genuine heart-rending cry for mercy." God had converted him and brought him unto himself. He went on to state, "From the first moment of this wonderful experience, I had the inspiring hope of being saved by a sovereign and infinitely gracious God. And in the same instant almost, I felt that I must leave my present occupation and devote myself to Jesus in the ministry of the glorious gospel by which I had been saved." And the story is told that how very suddenly he arrived home in Kilsyth. He actually had walked 36 miles to get home from where he was at that particular time when the Lord was dealing with him. And he arrived in home to his parents, and he said to his mother, and I quote, "What would you think, mother, if I should be a minister after all?" Because, mentioned there in the previous quote, that's what he had come to sense in his own soul, that the Lord was calling him in this particular way. And he came home and he told his parents that he indeed was going to be a minister of the gospel. And that careless life, indifferent life to the things of God, that young man that set off from home thinking he was going to pursue the world and follow after other things, the Lord, as he said himself, the Lord apprehended him. And that's the language that Paul uses in Philippians as well, how the Lord had apprehended him. And the thought there is of arrest. The Lord had arrested him and stopped him in his wild career. And that is true of Saul of Tarsus, and it was true of William Chalmers Burns as well. So a thought there of a careless life. I want you to think about a consecrated life as well, because instead of pursuing the career of being a lawyer, Burns now studied for the ministry. He first of all entered Marcial College in Aberdeen, and then he went on to University of Glasgow's Divinity Hall. But even there was a providential direction and overruling from the Lord, because the most popular university for divinity was at Edinburgh, not at Glasgow. Edinburgh was the school of divinity to go to, because the famous Thomas Chalmers was the professor there, the chief professor at Edinburgh, and he was in the zenith of his ministry in Edinburgh, and the vast majority of the theological students would go to the University of Edinburgh to sit under the instruction of Thomas Chalmers. But the Lord directed Burns to go to Glasgow instead. And in enrolling in Glasgow, he came under the influence of a man who was known as Rabbi Duncan. And if you know anything of Scottish church history, you know that Rabbi Duncan, as his name suggests, had a burning zeal for missionary work, particularly among the Jews. That's why he got the name Rabbi Burns. or one of the reasons why he got the name Rabbi Burns. But in Rabbi Duncan's heart, there burned a zeal for missionary work. And that made a great and lasting impression upon a young William Chalmers Burns that came to study under him. In fact, Burns recalls the ministry of Rabbi Duncan. It says, as if every Sabbath spent in Milton Church had been a day on Patmos, and every sermon as the opening of the gates of heaven. And such was the impact that it made upon his life. And providentially the Lord had directed him there to sit under a man who had such a burden for missionary work and reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Because as we know, ultimately the Lord was going to take this young man to the mission field, take him to China. And the Lord was preparing him and directing his ways. And even as a youth setting out now, having come to Christ and going to study in the divinity school, the very one that he would go to would be one where a missionary influence would be brought to bear upon him. And it's said that even before he left Glasgow, left the university school of divinity there in Glasgow, that Burns had already decided that he would seek the glory of the Lord far beyond his native shores. And by the age of 24, he obtained a license to preach from the Glasgow Presbytery. As I say, for the first part of his Christian life and his service for the Lord, he was used at home and he became mightily instrumental in revival. The year was 1839. It was the same year that Robert Murray McShane received an invitation to join the party that was bound for Palestine to explore the possibility of a missionary work among the Jews. Robert Murray McShane was a minister in St. Peter's in Dundee. And therefore, for the time that McShane would be away, it wouldn't be like a missionary trip today where somebody could be away just for a couple of weeks and cover it all. It was going to be for a longer period of time, even months would go by. And they would travel overland, actually, to Palestine, if you read anything about the history of it. How else would they travel? They weren't going to take the long journey round by boat across down the Atlantic and across the Mediterranean Sea, so they travelled overland. So it was going to take a long period of time, and therefore a substitute preacher was required to fill in McShane's pulpit in St. Peter's in Dundee when McShane was away in Palestine. And McShane and the oversight in the church in Dundee prayed about it, as to who would be suitable to fill the vacancy and look after the congregation for this period of time. And they settled upon William Chalmers Burns. And McShane wrote a letter to him. And this is what it says. You are given an answer to prayer. May you be 1,000 times more blessed among my people than I have ever been. You are given an answer to prayer. May you be 1,000 times more blessed among my people than I have ever been. That prayer was answered. That prayer of Robert Murray McShane that he wrote in that letter to Burns was answered. Because God began to work and revival blessing came to Dundee, came to St. Peter's in Dundee through the ministry of William Chalmers Burns. He first of all had the opportunity to go to India at that time, but it didn't materialise. The Lord would even close that door to India ultimately, and open another door. But at that time, he did have an opportunity, but it didn't work out. And also at that same time, he returned to his hometown of Kilsyth at the invitation of his father to take part in the communion season. And if you know anything about Scottish communion seasons, it involves a number of meetings. We might have our communion service once a month, and it's part of our regular services, but in Scottish Presbyterianism, that is not usually the case. More often than not, it's just a yearly thing. And there would be a series of meetings, maybe starting on the Thursday night and Friday, Saturday, and then on the Sunday there would be the communion service itself, and then on the Monday there would be a Thanksgiving service as well. So communion season in Scotland was a much longer over a longer period of time, even over a number of days. And the custom was among Scottish Presbyterians, evangelical ones, that they would invite another minister to come. It would be like a week of meetings that we might have here in our congregation, where we might invite a preacher to come and preach over a series of meetings. Well, communion seasons were like that among Scottish Presbyterians, and on that occasion, William Chalmers Burns was invited himself to go back to his hometown of Kilsyth, to his father's church, and there to preach at communion time. And as he preached, the Spirit of God came down over that communion season. And there was a time of revival that broke out in among the people of Kilsyth. And many were restored to their first love, and there were those that were saved and brought to Christ as well. But there had been blessing in Dundee. Burns had already started to preach in Dundee, and there was a little trickle of blessing that the Lord had been pleased to grant to the work there and upon the ministry of Burns in Dundee. But after returning back from Kilsyth to Dundee and to take up the labours there where he had been appointed to fill in for Robert Murray McShane, the trickle became a flood, and there was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. By that time, McShane had returned from the Holy Land, and he now was labouring again in Dundee as well, but Burns preached a little there as well. And there was a time of revival blessing that came to Dundee. So both in Kilsyth and both in Dundee, Burns was mightily used of the Lord in bringing souls to Christ and seeing the work of God revived and the people of God revived. That was in 1839. By 1843, if you know Scottish church history, you know the great disruption took place. And Burns had to decide, well, which side am I going to stand on? And he came out of the Church of Scotland, along with another 121 ministers and 73 elders who left the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, and they formed the Free Church of Scotland. And Burns was ready to bear reproach, to leave whatever there was and whatever they had in the Church of Scotland by way of support and structures, and throw in his lot with the disruption brethren. But then McShane and the others had done the same. The Bonner brothers, those individuals that he was contemporary with, and Thomas Chalmers as well, as we've mentioned. He was the professor in Edinburgh. But all of those men, renowned individuals in Scottish church history, they threw their lot in with the disruption as well, and William Chalmers Burns did the same. He was ready to step out and to honour the Lord when principle was at stake. And whether he was ready to do the Lord's bidding when he knew the Lord was calling him to be a minister of the gospel, whether he's now ready to step out and bear reproach for the Lord when there's principle to stand for, it is true, Burns was ever ready. Burns was ready to do it. After that, he preached in Dublin for a little time, 1844. 1845, he went to Canada for 2 years, and he ministered there as well. A life consecrated to the Lord, ever ready to go at the Lord's bidding. And where doors of opportunity opened, he preached in England. I should have mentioned that there as well. He preached in England as well, in the north of England too. He was ever ready to go and to preach the gospel, because of what the Lord had done in his heart and life that day that he saved him and given him a desire to serve the Lord. That brings me to think about one last aspect of his life, and that's a commissioned life. Because Burns laid down his life for the gospel by going to China. He died in China. He had asked that whatever few possessions he had would be sent home after he died. And it didn't take a large casket. Didn't take some large storage container to bring home what Burns had. He had just a handful of possessions that he could claim his own that were put in and sent home to his family in Scotland. All that he had, his life and all that he had, he laid it down for the Lord on the mission field, going to China. Like Brainerd, that we thought about last time, he had a desire to take the gospel to those that had never heard. And I quote, "The longing of my heart is to make known my glorious Redeemer to those who have never heard." And at the age of 32, 1847, that longing was realized. Having returned from Canada, where he had been preaching, the English Presbyterian Church Missionary Committee inquired as to whether there was anyone in Scotland that would be prepared to go as their first missionary to China. And as we mentioned, the door to India had closed where he had initially set his heart upon and felt the Lord was calling him 2, that door had closed, and when no one else responded to this call to go to China to be the first missionary under the English Presbyterian Church Missionary Committee, Burns believed the Lord was directing him to go, that he would be that man that would enter in through this door that was opened. So he made application, he was accepted, subsequently ordained, and he was appointed as the first missionary evangelist of the English Presbyterian Church to China. And in the interview he was asked this question, "When are you ready to go?" And Burns replied, "Tomorrow. I'm ready to go tomorrow." He was ever ready to do the Lord's will. And when he determined what the Lord's will was, he was ever ready. Now, it took a number of months before he was able to go. He wasn't able just to go tomorrow, but he was willing to go. There was a willingness. He was ready to do whatever the Lord had for him and to do it right away. And that is a feature of Christian obedience in the Scriptures, to do it readily, to do it right away. You think of Abraham. When the Lord came to Abraham and told him to take Isaac to Mount Moriah and offer up his son there upon Mount Moriah. Now, from what we learn, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham believed he would have to go through with it. And we know how the Lord stepped in and told him not to do it and that there was a ram caught in the thicket. But if you read the Scriptures and what the Scriptures have to say, it would indicate to us that Abraham was of the mind that he would have to go through with this, but that God would raise Isaac from the dead, because Abraham knew that in Isaac were the blessings. Isaac was the promised seed. So Abraham believed, I'm going to have to go through with this. But in Genesis chapter 22, when that instruction, that call came to Abraham to leave where he was and go to Mount Moriah and to offer up Isaac, his son Isaac, the one whom he loved, his only son, it tells us there in those verses, Abraham arose early in the morning. He didn't lie in bed moping about what he had been called to do. He wasn't showing any reluctance. He got up early in the morning, it says. He saddled his ass, he called his servants, he gathered together the things that he needed, and off he went to obey the Lord. And there is that principle that does have an application to us all. We might never be called to go to China. We might be, but more than likely not. But whatever the Lord calls us to do, whether it's something on the mission field, whether it's something here at home, whether it's something in our own personal lives that the Lord calls us to obey Him in, we ought to be ready to do it immediately. No reluctance. And Burns certainly had no reluctance. When are you ready to go tomorrow? I'm ready to go tomorrow. Well, as I say, there were some months that had to go by in preparation before he was able to see him, and he had to find a boat that he could be a passenger on. And in the 9th of June, 1847, Burns set sail from Portsmouth on his way to China to be a missionary. On that journey over, he took every opportunity, as I say, ever ready to serve the Lord. And on the boat over, he took every opportunity to serve the Lord. He arranged morning and evening services on the boat, because the journey took a number of months, 5 long months, from leaving Portsmouth until on the 13th of November he arrived in Hong Kong. 5 months on board. He suffered a lot from seasickness as well. Who wouldn't? If you were on a boat for 5 months, and wouldn't be some of those cruise liners that you might be on today if you went for a cruise. He suffered a lot from seasickness. But he arranged those meetings, ever ready to serve the Lord. He took the opportunity as well to study Chinese, the Chinese language, and sought to become proficient in it. As I say, 13th of November 1847, he arrived in Hong Kong. He's going to have to spend another 14 months studying the language in Hong Kong before he'd be able to preach. During that time, he was able to preach, as I say, to some who were there, even Scottish sailors. That would stop there at the port. He would be able to speak in English, preach in English to them. And again, he used every opportunity that was afforded to him to do so. He was ever ready. But his great desire was to learn Chinese, and his great desire was to press into the interior of China and take the gospel to the regions below. In a letter home to his mother, this is what he wrote. "You desired that 3 doors might be opened to me. The door of utterance into the language, the door of access into the country of China, the door of admittance for the Lord's truth into men's hearts. The first of these has been opened in an encouraging degree already, and it now remains to seek by prayer and action that the other two doors may be opened also. That's what he had to write in a letter home to his mother. You desired, so his mother had been praying for this. You desired that three doors might be opened. The door of utterance in the language, the door of access into the country of China, the door of admittance for the Lord's truth into men's hearts. He says the first has happened to an encouraging degree, but prayer and action is needed that the other two may be opened as well. The time came for him to leave Hong Kong. He had made sufficient progress in the language that he would be able to speak in the language. There was already a Chinese Bible that had been translated. So off he went from Hong Kong into the interior. The work, first of all, in the first area that he went to proved very hard, very difficult. Even to the extent that he began to question whether he was called to be a missionary and that he was in the wrong place. The work was so difficult and so hard. He later moved to the district, a district called Amoy, and that proved much more fruitful. Now in that place, Burns reckoned that there were over 600 smoking dens where they smoked opium. And Burns speaks about how it affected the people. Even their very countenance was affected by the fact that they were smokers of opium. But in spite of that, the Lord blessed. When he would go into a new area, he would pick a place and he would just start to read the scriptures aloud. That's how he would commence. He would start to read the scriptures aloud. And then that would draw a crowd, maybe the children first of all, and then adults as well, would come to see what it was that he was doing. Who is this individual? What is he doing reading out of this book? And it would give him the opportunity then to start to explain. Not only the book that he was reading from, but the message that the book contained of a Savior who would save sinners. And it was at that time, as we've already mentioned, that he did meet up with Hudson Taylor and that he did decide, along with Taylor already having done so, that he would dress in the traditional Chinese way in order to gain acceptance with the people. In spite of the hardness, the Lord was pleased to bless the sowing of the gospel. And I can't go over all of the incidences, or very many of them, if any at all, that happened in Burns' life. I would encourage you to read his life, and read his life, and read something of the sacrifice, the self-sacrifice that man made as he labored in China. He was a man ready for the will of God. He was willing to lay down his life for the cause of the gospel. He died when he was only 53 years of age, worn out, exhausted, as he labored in the interior of China. I finish off with this. On one occasion he was arrested for reading and preaching. He was brought before the chief magistrate of the area. And he was told to bow on his knees before the magistrate. And here's what he had to say. Your Excellency, I will render to you the same obeisance that I would to my sovereign Queen Victoria, humbly on our bended knee. But I will only kneel on both knees to God, the King of Kings. Always ready to serve. Whether it's principle, and we've mentioned how he sided with the disruption brethren, or even there in China when his life may well have been in danger by what he was doing and refusing to bow, he ever was ready to serve the Lord and to own the Lord. And I'll tell you, his life is a remarkable read if you ever come upon any book about him. I would encourage you to read about the life and service of William Chalmers Burns. And I close with that challenge that we have in that verse there tonight. Are we ready? Are we ready? Well, we need to be ready for heaven, but are we ready to do the Lord's bidding? Whatever that is, whatever that entails, are we ready to do the Lord's bidding? Well, may the Lord make us ready. May the Lord make us willing. And may we follow on in the line of many who have gone before, who are ever ready to serve the Lord and obey Him. Maybe it's principle. Maybe it's some principle we have to stand for. In an evil day when there's much opposition to the Lord and the things of God, maybe somewhere along the line we have to stand on principle. But are we ready to do it? Willing to render such service to the Lord? May the Lord make us ready.